I join with Brother Fields and the rest of the saints here at Bellevue Gospel Chapel in welcoming each and every one, and to wish every one of you a Merry Christmas and also a very happy, healthy, and a new year filled with God's richest blessings. Today is a day that the world celebrates, and we're happy for that. This is a day, as Christians, we celebrate this day every Sunday, because we know the one who has caused us to be here, the one who lives within us, the one, when we say joy to the world, the Lord is come, is one who is real to us. The world sings that, and they do not understand the full meaning of joy to the world is come. But we thank the Lord Jesus Christ for those of us who know it, believe it, and understand it. I'm going to ask you to turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, and we are going to read some verses here. Before we start reading, again, I'd like to commend ourselves to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We bow in prayer at this time. Our Father, we thank Thee for Lord Jesus Christ. We think of the declaration which was made, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We thank Thee for our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us this peace, given us this hope, the hope of eternal salvation. And we come today, our God, to read Thy holy word, and we pray that the Holy Spirit Himself will reveal to us that which Thou will have us to know. We thank Thee for everyone thus present, and may Thy word go forth in such a way that it is clear and it will be easily understood, and at the end we can all leave here rejoicing and sins forgiven, knowing that one day we shall reign with our blessed Lord in heaven. Bless us now as we remain in Thy presence. We give Thee thanks through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Again, we are reading from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, and it reads as follows. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I'd like to pause here for a moment and ask you to turn to another portion of Scripture. And this one will be in the first book, the book of Genesis. And we are going to read one verse there, and it will be chapter 1 and verse 26. Genesis chapter 1. We begin reading at verse 26. And it says, And God said, Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. The stress here is the first part of the verse, what God said. And God said, let us make man. Us meaning plural. Obviously, God had to be speaking to someone or some persons at the time. Let us make man. So that was even before man was made. I'm going to ask you now to turn with me to another portion, and that is found in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and we are going to read verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So we have in John 1, the Gospel according to John, in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We have in Genesis 1 and 26, and God said, let us make man. Who was God talking to? Well, we have in 1 John 5 and verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven. God was in heaven, and he was speaking to people in heaven. And who did God speak to? For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Back in John 1, the Gospel of John, the Word was made flesh. So the Word is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. God, when he was speaking in Genesis, in heaven, to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Holy Spirit. The three of them, and God is saying, let us make man. And then when we go to John 1, the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, was made flesh. He was in the beginning with God. That was the Word. The Word was made flesh. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let us continue with verse 2 in the Gospel according to John. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I chose for our topic today, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And it's very interesting, and our brother read this morning in the Gospel according to Luke. He read a few verses and he stopped short of going to the verse that I'm going to read now. And that is in Luke chapter 2. You can turn if you like. Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read just a few verses there regarding Simeon. Simeon, we are told in Scripture that he was waiting for the Christ, the Messiah. He was present when the Lord Jesus Christ was brought into the temple, and he had quite a few things to say. Look at verse 29. He was promised by God that he would not see death. In other words, he was not going to die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. In verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he, Simeon, took him up, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, in his arms, and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. See, the thing that I like about Scripture is this. In verse 29, he said, Simeon, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. Everything about the Scripture is revealed. Everything that is spoken about the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and you read concerning the gospel, you will read that Christ died for our sins according to the gospel. He was raised according to the gospel. He was buried according to the gospel. In other words, everything concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, beginning at his birth, were made known prior to his birth. You go back, and I wouldn't ask you to turn to it now, but you go back to Isaiah. And Isaiah made it clear. And this was done some 500 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And that's when he said that unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And the government shall be on his shoulders. And he told us what his name will be. He will be called Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And even when the angels saw, when the angels appeared to the shepherds, and they told them where to go to find the Lord Jesus Christ. So everything that the Bible talks about concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, they were stated hundreds, thousands of years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is significant. To me, it is significant. To you, it should be significant. Because men, human beings, make predictions all the time. And that's why I don't refer to what is written in the Bible concerning something that will take place as a prediction. Because when a prediction is made, there was always a degree of probability, which means it may happen that way, it may not happen that way, or some form of it may happen, or it may not happen at all. So that is a prediction. But when it comes to what God has to say concerning things that will happen in the Bible, I say that God has announced ahead of time, God is saying today what will take place tomorrow. And he says it with certainty, even the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, I am telling you this now. This is how I will die. So when it happens, you will remember that I told you before. Which human being can say that? You know, this is the time, and in the next few days, if you, as you look at TV, you will hear various ones, economists and others who have some knowledge about the economy. They'll be asked to make predictions. They'll be asked to predict what will happen with the stock market. And they will be making many predictions. And then a year from now, they'll come back and they will look at what happened. And then they will say, oh, I failed. Oh, I missed it. Oh, I came close. You know, the president of the United States, when he became president, and he wanted to put through what they call stimulus and asked the Congress to give him a lot of money. He said that if you give me the money, the unemployment rate will not exceed 8%. Well, the unemployment rate got to 10%, and it's still above 8%. That was a prediction. So when we take what human beings say, you know what the old saying is? We take it with a grain of salt. But when we take what the Bible says, we accept it as the truth, we believe it, and we can depend on it because it is reliable. Because God says it, it is reliable. So we can believe it. And that's the beautiful thing, because it tells us, here is Simeon. And Simeon is saying that the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 32, is a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. He's saying it right here. And it's important for us to understand that. Because the light that we're talking about, the Lord Jesus Christ, that light always existed. So it's a pre-existing light. It existed from the beginning. We read in 1 John 5. He existed in heaven. We read in the first book, Genesis, the beginning, that God said to him, let us make man. So he existed. He is now being manifested in the flesh. In verse 14 of the Gospel of John, we read, and the Word was made flesh. So now he is being made manifest so that the world can see him, and the world then can understand who he is. So this light pre-existed in heaven, and now this light is coming to earth. So as you continue to look at the verses in First John, in the Gospel according to John, it says that in the beginning was the Word, beginning meaning that this Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, existed in heaven. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that light is God himself. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. In verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Isn't this awful? You know one thing, and if you haven't tested it, you can test it tonight when it gets very dark. Darkness and light cannot exist together. If you go into your bedroom, and if your blinds or your curtains are closed and you don't turn on the light, the room should be dark. If your room is not dark, then run out. So the room is dark, and you flip the light switch, and there is no more darkness, it is only light. They cannot exist together. If there is darkness and light goes on, there is no more darkness, it is all light. But when it comes here to the Word of God, it tells you here in verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In other words, the darkness, the light did not have any effect on the darkness. Then how could that be? How could that be? Well, you see, when we deal with the natural things of light, it works like that. It's just like what we learn in, what is that, physics? I think we learn it. What goes up must come down. Gravity, we put something up there and nothing to hold it, it's coming down. But when it comes to the things about God, it is different. Because the Bible tells us that the natural man, just plain human beings, cannot understand the things of God. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. So why do you think there are so many things that are happening in this world today, so many wicked things? The heart of man, God says, is wicked. It is desperately wicked above all things. And who can know it but God? Because they don't believe that there is a God. They don't believe that God sees. They don't believe that there will be any punishment. So as a result, they just go on doing whatever they want to do. And they feel that nothing will happen to them. You know, when you read Psalm 73, the psalmist makes it very clear in Psalm 73 that the wicked, the proud, they do all these wickedness things and they ask, does God know? Does God see? Well, God knows and he sees. And he will deal with them in a coming day. Because even in Psalm 73 expresses what will happen to them in a coming day. It is very clear. The wicked shall be turned into hell, the Bible says. And all the nations that forget God or do not know God. But when it comes to spiritual things, it is only those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior can discern these things because they are spiritually discerned. And that's very important for everyone to understand that because the natural man cannot understand it. The Bible makes it very clear that after the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shines in our heart, we will be then enlightened. Then we can read the Word of God and we can understand the Word of God. Because we are told in Ephesians 1, verse 13, that when we believe, when we hear the Word of truth, when we believe the Word of truth, the moment we believe it, we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into us. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, the Bible tells us. And the Holy Spirit reveals to us the things concerning the Word of God. And that's how we are enlightened. That's how we are able to understand. That's why you read that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. But unto us who are saved, what is it? It is eternal life. But for those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus, it's foolishness. It's like you're wasting time. They don't want to hear anything about it. And what we know about Proverbs. Proverbs says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. In other words, the translation is, the fool has said, no God for me. Because if the fool says there is no God, the fool has to believe there is God. So the fool is saying, okay, there is a God, but there is no God for me. I don't want to have anything to do with this God. No God for me. The Bible says such persons who do that or say those things, they are fools. But unto us, the preaching of the cross. In other words, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death on the cross of Calvary brings joy to our hearts. For unto us who are saved, it makes all the difference in the world. Because that light continues to shine within our hearts. So that's why when you read here that the light shineth in darkness and darkness comprehended it not, is because those who are not saved cannot understand the things of the Lord. But those who are saved then can discern what is written in the Word of the Lord. Let's move on. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He, John the Baptist, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And the light we're talking about in verse 9, that was the true light, which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. And then in verse 10, it's similar to what you read in the previous verse, in verse 5. It says in verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. See, the light shined in the darkness. The darkness did not comprehend it. God himself was in the world. He made the world. And yet, those in the world did not even know him. The world knew him not. But thank God. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his own. So he came unto his own, the Jews. He came to them. They had a first place, the first opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't. But we can't fault them, because if they did, where would we be today? So he came unto his own. His own did not receive him. But here is where we come in. But as many as received him, whoever receives him. He says here, as many as received him, to them gave he the power, or gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we are included in what we read here, to them. We are the them that received him. To us, he has given the power because we believe on his name, and we are now declared the sons of God. Sons here meaning both male and female in this regard. So we are the children of God. We are now accepted in the well-beloved. Isn't this wonderful? That the Son of God came. He was the light. He now made manifest in the flesh so that we can relate to him. You know, people like to say, you know, show me things and show me this and show me that. God revealed himself. He showed his people that he is God. God dwelt among them. Emmanuel, God with us. This is part of the introduction of the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnation, which was said several hundreds of years, as I said earlier, 500 years or so before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. God with us. And when God appeared, they did not even believe him. But this was characteristic of the Jews, because the Bible tells us that the Jews required a sign. They always wanted to see. So the Greeks wanted knowledge. The Jews required a sign. Show me. The Greeks always wanted to debate. This is written in the Bible. So that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came and showed himself. God sent him, made him manifest in the flesh, showed himself. But yet they didn't believe. You recall, as you go back in 1 Samuel, you'll recall when the children of Israel, when they said to Samuel, the prophet, make us a king. Make us a king. So that we will have someone to go and fight our battles for us, like all the other nations. It's a problem to be like everybody else. You know that. It is a problem to be like everybody else. Because when we want to be like everybody else, then we lose our character. We lose our characteristic. When we want to join the multitudes, then we lose something. And Samuel warned them. Because what were they doing? They wanted to see. The other nations had kings, and the kings went out to war so they could see. The kings, human beings, the nations could see their king. They could identify with their king. The Jews had their king, God, fighting on their behalf. And he was more powerful and showed them in so many ways that he was more powerful than any other king. He was more powerful than any other God, but that still wasn't good enough for them. They wanted someone that they could see and they could relate to. And he told them the kind of king that they will get through Saul. And that became a major problem for them. But they wanted to see. And it's the same thing here. Because the Lord came. He's among them. He gave them. They wanted to see God. The Lord Jesus Christ came as God. And yet they did not accept him. So even when you showed them, they didn't believe. The Lord Jesus Christ doing miracles. Why did he do miracles? That they will believe that he is God. They will believe that he came from God. Even Nicodemus recognized that. Remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus went to him, hiding. He went to him by night. And he said to him, Master or Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Listen carefully. For no man doest these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Nicodemus knew it, but others didn't. At one point, Jesus didn't perform miracles in a certain place anymore. He did not. Because what? He says, because of their unbelief. So even when he performed the miracles that no one was able to do, they still did not believe. You remember when he opened the eyes of the blind man? The man who was born blind, you remember when he opened it? And when they questioned that blind man, and they questioned the parents first, the parents were so scared, because these are the rulers of the Jews. They were the ones running things. And the parents were so scared that after they were questioned and questioned concerning how their son, who was born blind, received his sight. You remember what they said? He's of age. He's of age. Ask him. That sounds like Pilate, right? When Pilate had the authority to set the Lord Jesus Christ free, what did he do? When his wife sent the message, have nothing to do with this just man. Have nothing to do with him. What did he do? Instead of saying, I set him free. I am in charge and I set him free. What he did? Took water and washed his hands. He said, I have nothing to do with this just man. And he turned him over. When I was growing up, you know what we call that? He chickened out. He chickened out. He did not stand out. He was a coward at that point. But why? Because he wanted to please the people. So when we talk about these kinds of things, it is important to understand that we just don't follow a crowd because multitudes are doing it. It is wrong. We don't follow a crowd. We must stand and show that we are indeed the light. We cannot just follow others because they're doing it. Because God has commanded us. He has shown his love. He has shown his light into our hearts. So this is a pre-existing light, and even the light is existing today within us. You go to verse 13. Let's go to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thank God that we who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we can say that we have beheld his glory. And his glory is as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The psalmist made it very clear. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 105, says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. The Word is the Word of God. The Word is Jesus himself. God is revealing himself, or he revealed himself to the Lord Jesus Christ, and now the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed to us in the Word of God. So when we talk about hearing from the Lord Jesus Christ, we talk about reading his Word and understanding what is written in his Word, and this is how he speaks to us. It is important that we understand that the Lord Jesus Christ expresses the brightness and the glory of God. We read that in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 1, we are told that he expresses the brightness and the glory of God. He is the express image of God. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ has said to Peter, when Peter had asked him to show us the Father, and Jesus said, and I'm using my own words, Peter, look how long I have been with you. I have been with you so long, and yet you ask me to show me the Father? If you know me, you know the Father also. Because it is like looking in a mirror. When you see me, you see the Father. Because the Lord Jesus Christ contains the body of the God, he contains the body of the Godhead, or bodily. Everything in the Lord Jesus Christ reveals God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I remember our brother Jim reminding us about that not too long ago. It is all three in one. When we sing sometimes, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. He contains the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Bible tells us, as Christians, let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That light is a continuous light. Jesus Christ continues to shine. You know, as you think about this, wherever you go, see, the world has the wrong idea. Because at this time, they put up all the lights. And there's nothing wrong about putting up lights. I don't have any problems with that. Okay? I love seeing them. And I do intend to drive around and look at some lights. And I do drive around sometimes and look. But I intend to go down to Albany. Unfortunately, I heard on the news last night that in Albany, some vandalism took place with the light. Destroy some light, $25,000 worth of damages to the lights in Albany. But you see the amount of money that is spent, put up all these bright lights, and they don't understand the meaning. So from a natural point of view, they put up all these lights. But you can see they're still thinking the Lord Jesus Christ was born. They're thinking of glory to God in the highest. They're thinking of peace, goodwill toward man and earth. And so they light up the whole place, they light up the whole world. Even in countries that do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is light. There are many lights in these countries. And later on, when you go home and you turn on the TV, you will see Christmas celebrated around the world. All over the world, there is light. And I like that because it draws attention at least to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. It draws attention to the fact that we have a Savior who is the Lord Jesus Christ. The thing that we pray for is that they will understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And he died to save men from their sins. You see, if he had only been born and there was all to it, then our salvation would not have been complete. He was born, but he had to die. That's why he came into this world. He came into this world to die for our sins on the cross of Calvary. So birth was necessary. But his death was extremely important. And you know, there's no way in Scripture where we are told to remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are told in Scripture to remember his death. He says, to do this until I come. He instituted what we did here this morning, the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup. He instituted. We don't do it just for show. He told us to do it, and he says, for often as you do it, as often as you do it, you do show forth the Lord's death till I come. So when we do it, we are doing it in obedience to the word of God. So it was important for the Lord Jesus Christ to be born, but it was equally important for him to die. And that's the main reason why he came. God was made manifest in the flesh, took on human form so he can live among us. He can show us the example of what it is to live for him. And because his light is indwelt within us, he says, let it shine. Let it shine. Why? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6 tells us, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, talking about during creation, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is a continuous light. It's a continuous light. We have that light in our hearts. And you know what we're told in a further charge in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 14? It says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You talk about lighthouses. Before we had this modern day navigation equipment and so on, Lighthouses were built. Structures were built on land in certain strategic points so that sailors, when they are coming in, they can see and focus their attention, the bow of the boat. They fix it on the lighthouse because they know that it will, if they follow it, it will bring them in safely to shore. Or it will clearly define the passageway. Well, we focus on our lighthouse. Our lighthouse is the Lord Jesus Christ. So while we are in this world, in spite of all the problems that are taking place, and the sea is a very dangerous place, as much as you see it when you're out in the ocean, way out, and there are no rocks around and it's that calm, it is a very dangerous place. So the lighthouse provided some type of relief for them, some type of certainty that they will make it safely to land. The Lord Jesus Christ is our lighthouse, and he provides for us that certainty that no matter what happens to us in this life, no matter how we are treated in this life, no matter what, come what may, one day we are going to spend eternity with him. And isn't that wonderful? Therefore, we can stem the storms of this life, and let us not fall by the wayside. Let us not think that we are alone. We are never alone. Never. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. No matter what we are going through. God did not say it was going to be easy. God did not say we are not going to have problems. God did not say we are not going to lose our jobs. God did not say that we are not going to be scorned and shunned. God did not say that. He says, in this world, you shall have tribulation. But then he says, be of good cheer. Why? For I have overcome the world. That's what he says to us. So when we are going through, you know, it always reminds me of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's what brings comfort. When we're going through these dark times, when we don't know where to turn, when we see no way out, we must recall the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It is those dark times. It is those lonely times that we have to retain and remember that we are not alone. No matter what we're going through, God is with us and he will see us through. He is our rod, he is our staff, and he brings comfort to us. Ephesians 5 and 8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We were darkness at one time. We did not know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. But now we are light. Light where? Light in the Lord. And because we are light in the Lord, we are told to walk as children of light. Why? It's further described in Philippians 2 and verse 15. Listen to this. It says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So we can be blameless then. In this midst of this perverse generation, does the generation feel perverse to you? In terms of this crooked generation, so that we could be blameless. And as a result of that, we will shine as lights in the world. Let us remember that as we go through life. Let us remember, it is the Christians, those of us who are saved, that must make the difference. We must shine so that they can see it in the world and glorify the Father. I'm going to bring this to a close. The psalmist said in Psalm 27 and verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Let's not be afraid of anything. Let's not be reckless, but let's not be afraid of anything. As we trust in God, as we lay hold on him, he will see us through. Let's not be afraid, because God provides for us. Psalm 36 and 9 says, "For with thee is the fountain or the source of life. In thy light shall we see light." God has given us the natural light so we can see. He has given us a spiritual light in his word. So through the natural light, we see, we can move around. And through the spiritual light, we have all the light that we need in this world. Psalm 118:27 says, "God is the Lord, which had showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar." He has shown us light, and that light is in him. And then, so that's the continuous light. And the eternal light, it tells us that in a coming day, when we shall gather in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, we would not even need the sun. We would not even need the moon, because the Lord Jesus Christ will provide all the light that there is to, or all the light that is needed in heaven in the coming day when we shall gather with him. There will be no more need for all this. It is an eternal light. It is a light that will never go out. As I close, I ask you the question. Do you have that light? Do you have that light? The light of the world is Jesus. Those who are saved have that light. If you think you have that light, but you're not sure, chances are you don't have it. If you're questioning within yourself, then chances are you don't have it. But it is not too late to get it. Everyone can get that light now, right now, where you are. And how do you get it? The Bible says in the same book that we've read, the Gospel of John, chapter 3 and verse 16. We're talking about gifts today. "For God so loved the world, that he gave." He gave. He did not sell. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How do you get it? You get it by recognizing and believing that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, to bring light. You must accept it as the only way to heaven, the only way to eternal life. As you accept it, you will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And how do you do that? Right where you are, in your heart, you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save you. You say to him, "I know that Jesus Christ came from heaven. He was made manifest in the flesh. I know that he went to the cross of Calvary and he died for my sins. I know he was buried. And I know on the third day he rose again. And he is here to give us this light, to give us this hope, to save us from our sins so we can spend eternity with him." And right where you are, you can say, "Lord Jesus, I believe it. Please come into my heart and save me." And if you do, the Bible says that you'll be saved. And that's how you get the light into your heart. If you do not remember doing that, it is not too late. You can do it now. If you have doubts as to whether you ever did it, you said you did it once, but you have doubts as to whether you ever did it, it is best to make sure now, and not have doubts anytime after that, by asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save you right now. We're going to close in prayer, and we're going to sing one song. When we're finished singing, if you would like to talk to any one of us, if you would like to get that light, if you would like us to explain further anything that I've said or something that you've read in your Bible while you're sitting there, we'll be glad any one of us can sit and help you to do that. And if you don't have doubts, but you just open up your heart to the Lord and ask him to save you, we will be happy to know that you did, and we'll be happy to pray with you. You can just stay, just come up to the front, sit down. We'll be glad to pray with you. Let us close in prayer. Father, we thank thee again for Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for him coming into this world to save us from our sins. We thank thee that we understand the joy that salvation brings. And the world can understand the joy in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And everyone here can live knowing the joy by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior. Trust that if there are those in our midst who have not done so, they will do it now. Realizing that we could only do this while we are alive. When we are dead, we must meet thee either as our Savior and Lord or as our Judge on our way to hell. While we have life, we must accept that light. May this be the case today, and bless everyone who've come as we give thee thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Number 242, please. Number 242. Is Jesus. 242, please.
Sunlight in heaven, we're told, the light of the world.